Hi, this is Fabi Fav.
And this is Pavelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch, the podcast where we talk about important things like,
you gotta pop them corn so the kids can eat.
Hello, hello, hello.
Kisho, kisho, kisho.
How are you, Babalito?
Freaked out because I haven't been in the same room with you recording in a long fucking time.
I know, it's crazy.
But here we are in Las Vegas, Nevada.
I like you living your indigenous Rebozo fantasy here.
It's fucking cold, girl. So.
Ooh, a llama. Is that from South America?
It's very Peruvian. It's very Peruvian. Yes.
Babelito Peru.
That would be a good drag name.
Yeah, like Coco Peru. You know? Yeah. Yes. Híjole, man.
Wow.
What's going on? What is going on?
I didn't eat enough. I think I ate too fast. I had a crazy
What did you
dinner.
Eat? Tell me.
So we went to our favorite local spot, Publica.
Your favorite local, yes.
Que no te oigan, güey. And I had, it's called a breaky sandwich. So it was just like a breakfast sandwich with a nice bun. Nice huevos and
you just need a nice bun and a nice huevos to get your day started.
Hey, and
it was an egg sandwich.
Yes, it was good. It was good. It had thick ass bacon. There was no bologna, but hey, like you do what God you do with what God gives you. So like I just that's it.
Yeah,
it was okay. It was good. It was good. But last night. We had, remember that place you took your grandma and she's like, take me to Panda Express. This
yes.
is bullshit. That's my mom's favorite restaurant. Y la pobrecita dice que es como novia de rancho que nadie la saca. So she waits for me to come home so I can take her for noodles.
So, you went to the noodles. Authentic Guatemalan Chinese restaurant.
Sichuan. Hand pull noodles, yes.
Ooh.
So this morning I wasn't feeling it. So that's why I had like a light breakfast.
Oh, nice.
¿Y usted qué comió?
Today, I had the salad for breakfast. It's called a frique salad. I don't know what that is. It's just like rice, but it's a different texture.
Uh-huh.
Basically, it was just like a salad with rice and a bunch of vegetables. It was delicious.
Spice it up, man. What do you mean a salad with rice and vegetables? Sounds gross. Like, you need to tell me what else was in it.
Olives. Pickled onions,
greens,
beans, potatoes, tomatoes, hams, yams.
You name it.
That's it. Wepa, wepa. And so, yeah, I got back like to Las Vegas like 2 days ago, and I was just like so excited to be able to eat different food. Oh my God.
Can we
God.
Talk about that? I mean, Chicago is a foodie's paradise, but that requires you to travel out around the city. And I'm a lazy old man, so I don't do that. So I stay in Pilsen. But here, having a car is like makes all the difference in the world. Oh my God, like curry, Japanese curry. That's mm-hmm. like today's spot.
Mm-hmm.
In and fucking out. Do you know how much I miss a burger from In and Out?
Yeah.
Good sushi, because in Chicago,
yeah.
It's okay. So I'm hitting all the spots while I'm here in town. It's just, I don't know, maybe it's just like, because I miss being home, you know?
But yeah.
I'm eating it all. Oh, y tacos el gordo, güey.
Yeah.
That's
you've only been here one day. You went to all those places?
Yes. Not tacos el gordo yet, but I've eaten out.
Damn, bitch.
Yeah, I'm broke, yeah.
Well, good job. I went to one place, basically. But I'm excited because... Thanksgiving is coming up.
Wait.
Oh my gosh. I forgot to mention at the beginning of this episode.
Dime.
This is our 100th episode.
That's fucking crazy.
Is it?
Oh, fuck. That is insane because just like so many things have happened in 100 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And like we met so many people. We traveled so much. And I don't know, like every day I'm still amazed of how much people love and enjoy the podcast. So that's like, that's exciting, man. This is like a milestone.
Yeah, this is our 100th full episode. I think we have over 120 recordings.
Con las mordidas.
Yeah, because we used to do like mini-sodes and bonus episodes
right.
back before we were weekly. We were bi-weekly for for all you Latinos who lunch OGs that have been listening since episode one. Yeah, and so we got back to Vegas, and a lot of you might know that we have a partnership with our local NPR station.
True.
Nevada Public Radio, KNPR. You're listening to Latinos Who Lunch. And so that's what we did yesterday. We went to our local NPR station and recorded an episode with them. And they loved the idea of our last episode, the ABCs of Latinidad, that we kind of just like touched on on that episode, during that episode, and we got into Thanksgiving too.
Yes, and people love that ABCs of Latinidad.
Yeah,
it was good.
That was fun.
Se nos olvidó la G, la doble L,
and the double R.
Ay, la R.
Bitch, where are you? Aren't you supposed to be the one that knows everything? I can't do everything on this fucking show.
Of la Ch, ¿y cuál fue la otra?
The double L and the double R. We did the Ñ, dude.
So what will you choose for your Y?
La llamada.
La llamarada.
Yeah, probably that. Yeah, sure.
Y con la...
Double R?
Ajá.
Rikitiki. That's what I'll do.
Puros sonidos de... Yeah. I don't know. Con R cigarro. I don't know.
It has to start with it, fool.
There's not a lot of there's not a lot of words.
I found something.
Con R, ay, rikitiki, wey.
That's double R. Say it.
Rikitiki.
See, double R.
I love it. Con Y, con doble L, bitch, like, my mind is like, I'm depressed. The first thing I thought, I was like, llanto. But yeah, some listeners call us out. They're like, yeah, you forgot two letters. So, but it was a really, really fun episode. And that's what the people in KNPR wanted to, like, a little version of that.
Yeah. So let's actually play it for everybody.
Down.
And then we'll come back in just a second. Or, yeah, like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
From Nevada Public Radio, I'm Casey Morrell. This is State of Nevada. We want to welcome in Emmanuel Babelito Ortega and Justin Favifa Favela. They're the hosts of the Las Vegas-based podcast Latinos Who Lunch. Emmanuel and Justin are with us every so often to talk about all things Latinx, and they are here in studio the day before Thanksgiving. Gentlemen, it's good to see you, as always.
Hello.
Kesho.
So you're both back here. The last few months you've been elsewhere. Chicago for Emmanuel, Breckenridge, Colorado for Justin. It's home. There's sunshine. It's not 40 degrees. Are you just basking in the glow of Southern Nevada once again?
Absolutely. Actually, 40 degrees sounds like heaven. So yes, I went to this coffee shop this morning and there was sunlight and it was shiny and I was so happy. So yes, I am.
Were there angels singing in the background?
That's how it felt like. And driving, I don't drive in Chicago. So just driving with the sunlight and my radio, it was just like such a treat. Yeah.
I've been traveling so much that I'm just like desensitized and truly dead inside now. So I don't feel a difference. I will say that I got used to the cold in Colorado because I was in the mountains. So then coming here and like seeing everybody bundled up, I just cracks me up because
it's not cold for you.
I'm like used to 20 degree weather, you know. So yeah, but it's good to be back in the lower elevation where I can actually breathe. That's nice, and have more than two beers without passing out.
So I want to ask you, you know, since last time we talked, there was an election that happened. I'm curious for you both, for your friends, what's your sense of things? Have people been talking about it with the results? Happy, upset? Give me a lay of the land.
Well, I knew that the Latinx community here in Las Vegas would come through. And, well, we see what happened with Dean Heller and Jackie Rosen now in office is pretty awesome. And that's thanks to the Latino vote. I mean, it's pretty clear that from now on, Nevada will remain a blue state. And it has all these Republicans shook, as the children say. So I think what's happening in Nevada is a clear sign of like where a lot of states in this country are going. people are realizing that voting matters. And thanks to organizations like the Culinary Union and Plan here, it's making a huge difference.
Yeah, I think what I saw on social media, for example, was a sense of exhaustion with this coming into this election, but never giving up. It's about resistance. So you can see that the community went out. And once again, we realize in this country that the only people with a real sense of what's going on in our future are Black women. So I think this was just yet another reminder of the sectors of the communities that we need to be paying attention to. And the Latino community and the African-American community are two important ones.
Yeah, and women. I mean, shout out to Dina Titus and to Ivana Cancela. I'm like so happy that they're representing us.
Right.
I want to pivot for a moment because we're here obviously the day before Thanksgiving. Are you back in town mainly for Thanksgiving or just because you have time off from work, from what you're doing to come back? Is it mostly Thanksgiving?
Yes, I'm here to spend the holidays with my family. This is the longest I've been without saying my family, so we're just here. And it's very nice to be able to plan Thanksgiving dinner, things that you take for granted, and I've been thinking about it for months now.
Yeah, Thanksgiving is a big deal in my family just because it's like the history of the holiday is kind of messed up, of course, kind of. But it's a holiday about eating food. That's how we see it anyway. So I always have my regular Thanksgiving with my family, and then the cousins on the Guatemalan side of my family, we have Cousinsgiving every year, and then I usually have a Friendsgiving. So there's multiple dinners happening this week. So I got my sweatpants ready, and I am so excited. And this is really when white people show out. I mean, white people do the... There is no shame in me saying this. White people, y'all got Thanksgiving down. Give me all the versions of cranberry sauce. Give me that smoke. Give me that fried. Give me that brined turkey. Ooh, I'm so excited.
The deep fried turkey. That's my favorite.
We're talking with Latinos Who Lunch, Justin Favela and Emmanuel Ortega. They're known on the program as Favi Fav. That's Justin, of course, and Babelito is Emmanuel. You know, on your latest edition of the show, you had a lot of fun with some cliches in Latinx culture, an hour and 15 minutes of them that just kind of flew by. You went through the alphabet and went through what you called the ABCs of Latinidad, which is this concept of attributes shared by Latinx people. I want to go through some of them, and we can kind of jump around the alphabet if you're willing to do so. The first one is a new show on Netflix. And last time we talked about shows on Netflix that we all kind of just hate watch because they're so bad, but we can't stop. You have a new one.
Well, this one I hated so much that I did stop watching it because I couldn't put myself through it. And I had so much hope for it. It's John Leguizamo's, Latin History for Morons. And this episode of the ABCs of Latinidad was a direct response to that because, like I expected from the title, I knew this show was going to be racist, it was going to be homophobic,
sexist,
ableist, and in the first 8 minutes of it, all of those categories were touched, and it was I couldn't do it anymore. I mean, he like casually drops the N-word, and then he starts making fun of his uncle who's deaf, and I'm like, this is what's going on here?
Yeah, his age is showing. And he hasn't aged gracefully, and I think his comedy just relies on making fun of stereotypes. And the formula is that when you make fun of your own stereotypes in your own community, then somehow you're allowed to make fun of others. And that's exactly what he did. He started with the Latinx community, and then he continued. I hated it. His version of the colonial, of the encounter, of the conquest of the Americas, even though it was a little bit funny. He just used us as a platform to make fun of all these different minorities. And I didn't finish it. I think at the last 20 minutes, I just put it down. But so many listeners reach out to us because they wanted us to talk about it. So we did, and we both hated it so much.
There was another topic of discussion on the show, which was dealing with roommates. I think we've
all
lived with roommates, some who've been good and some who have been less than good. And Justin, you've got some very specific rules if anybody wants to be your roommate that you're saying from the start, this is what we're dealing with.
I have a lot of rules. People say that I'm too picky about stuff, and you know what? It's just common decency, people, okay? I'm not a control freak. I just like things a certain way, okay?
Same. Same.
So the topic of eggpan came up because my A, the A for the ABCs of Latinidad, was Ajax, because Latinos love to clean with it, because Ajax just, this is free commercial for them. But one time I had a roommate that cleaned my eggpan with Ajax, 6 years of seasoning, Casey, literally down the drain.
The wire.
Oh, my heart hurts right now thinking about it. So there's just like a very, in my family anyway, you know, we eat eggs every morning.
Yeah.
Growing up, that's all you eat. Chorizo, huevos con chorizo, huevos estrellados, or, you know, chilaquiles with huevos. So it's that pan doesn't need to be cleaned because there's so much oil on it anyway. You just wipe it out and then you use the oven for what it's really for, as a rack for your pans, right? And then you just put it there and then you take it out in the morning. So when my roommate did that, I was shocked, especially because she is also Latina. So
did you use the pan as a weapon then afterwards? And
I think I just gave up. I just didn't even enter the kitchen anymore after that. I was so sad.
It's a crime.
And Justin, I want to talk about a fashion accessory. Or I don't know if it's an accessory really, but like it's part of your identity. Because every time we see each other, mm-hmm. you have a shirt on that has some element of a skeleton on it.
Yeah. I call it my artist uniform. So I always wear a black skeleton shirt with a red sweater.
Which is what you're wearing right now.
A red accessory. and it all happened like 5 years ago when I had a show at Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art in Bentonville, Arkansas.
Walmart.
Home of Walmart.
Yeah.
And so my W for the ABCs was... Well, actually, my G was Gualmar, because that's how we say it. I went with my whole family to Arkansas because I was in this big show, and that's where I bought the very first skeleton shirt. And I just had such a great memory from having my whole family there. And of course, they wanted to see the flagship Walmart because...
what else are you going to do?
I know. What exactly. else are you going to do, right? so I just started wearing that shirt to all my art openings, and eventually I just said, oh, I'm just going to make it my uniform. So that's why I wear the skeleton shirt now. I mean, there's other reasons behind it too, but it just kind of stemmed from it happening naturally.
We're talking about the ABCs of Latinidad with Emmanuel Babelito Ortega and Justin Fabifa Favela. They are Latinos Who Lunch. And as we get closer to the end of the alphabet, we have V for Valentina. I'm guessing two different versions of Valentina, considering pop culture and also cuisine.
Valentina is a hot sauce, and that's what Babelito is referring to. And there's also a drag queen named Valentina who was on RuPaul's Drag Race season 9, I believe. And she was kind of cast as this kooky villain. We haven't talked about this. Exclusive! I didn't like her for a very long time because... She compared herself to Selena. And how like she is, you know, the drag queen for all Latinx people. And I'm like, who does she think she is? But I just heard an interview with her and I fell in love with her all over again. She's embracing her villain, like the villain character and just going for it now.
I gotta listen to this.
And I am living for Valentina, so please Google Valentina drag queen. She is beautiful.
Yeah, she's gorgeous.
Those eyebrows, oh my God.
And she played,
unlike any other Latinx drag queen, she embraces the golden age of Mexican cinema. She embraces telenovela characters. So even though she is playing with certain stereotypes, she does it with such grace and elegance. So that's something that a lot of people in the Latinx gay community embrace, because a lot of the other Latinx drag queens always are just this big tropical thing walking around, like Carmen Miranda, and she in a way took Latinx drag queen into a whole different place. So I appreciate it, but I still have to listen to that because I still don't like her.
And then the debate with the hot sauces, because either you're a Valentina family, Cholula family, Tapatio family.
I think there was a poll in Twitter and Valentina won.
No.
Yes.
Mm-mm. Tapatio all the way.
I'm Tapatio.
See?
Yeah.
All right, let's go to lunch after this.
It works for me. Last but not least, I want to hit the letter X, which you said was xenophobia. Do you see that coming up more and more in culture today? Or has it just been something that's always, there's always been an undercurrent?
It's always been a thing in the Latino community. But right now, with the caravan of Centroamericanos going through Mexico, people are showing, como decimos, el cobre. Like, they're showing the real Mexicanos. And there's a lot of racism in Mexico. And I'm seeing it in my own community. I'm from Ciudad Juarez. Mm. And they're setting tent on the bridges across, on the bridges on the Mexican side. And family members, they're complaining about it. I've had conversations just this week about it. So I think, hopefully, Thanksgiving is a good opportunity for people to sit down and point those things out, because we're all part of the same problem, but also we're all part of the same community. And the same way that we complain about people treating us here in this country, we're doing the same thing in Mexico. So we need to be very aware of that.
Yeah. And I mean, Latinos exist in all shades and of a color, and then have all different origins. And a lot of times, as you know, lighter skinned Latinos, we forget that Afro-Latinos exist. We forget that there's a lot of Asians within the Latinx community. And just to, you know, the one thing that I'm trying to get my family to understand, which will be a fun thing to bring up at Thanksgiving dinner, is to recognize our privilege as white Latinos.
Right.
Because just because you're Mexican doesn't mean you get a pass and you can say really racist, anti-black, anti-Central American things, you know? And I'm actually half Central American, half Mexican. And that has been an issue for me growing up here in Las Vegas, because I ever since I grew up, I knew that both sides of me didn't like each other, because there's this like, even though it's done in jest, there's always elements of truth to that. You know what I mean?
Right. But we're also part of the same history. We were the same territory for 300 years. You go to a birthday party in Honduras and they bring mariachis. Like, why don't we start recognizing and understanding our similarities, but also like respect our differences? Because really, this past couple of weeks and with the caravans, like, a lot of things are coming to the surface.
Mm-hmm.
Emmanuel and Justin, we've been talking about the ABCs of Latinidad. Emmanuel Babelito Ortega and Justin Fabi Favela are the hosts of the podcast Latinos Who Lunch. Have a great Thanksgiving. Thanks
Yay,
for being here.
Ciao. Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
This is State of Nevada.
Hi, we're back.
Que show.
That was fun.
That was fun, but I really want to get into Thanksgiving, because your Thanksgiving sound so epic and so different from anything I heard.
Well, listen, Thanksgiving was my favorite holiday for a long time, and it's because I love to eat.
Yeah.
And I just, I would do this thing called Thanksgiving extravaganza every year, where over Thanksgiving weekend, I would go to as many Thanksgivings as I possibly
right.
could. So my friends, my family, and sometimes even strangers that I didn't know, I would just like show up to their Thanksgivings. One year, my record 1 year was 9 Thanksgivings.
No mames.
So over 3 days, I went to 9 different Thanksgivings.
So 3 different Thanksgivings a day?
Yes.
I can't.
I know.
I went with one of them with you, David Ryan. Shout out to David Ryan.
Yeah.
That was probably one of the best Thanksgiving dinners I've ever had in my life.
And just like I said on the show, white people, some white people, not all of them, they come through on Thanksgiving. They know how to make like the classic like green bean casserole with the French onion and the cream, the mushroom cream soup.
All the nuclear 1950s family
that
favorites.
Shit is the bomb.
It's so
oh my
good.
God. I used to have an old roommate and I love him. Shout out to Aaron. And his mom used to make hot dog casserole. And when I tell you,
what?
Bitch, this is totally up your alley. This is totally up your alley. So imagine, okay? Let me take you back. A layer of mashed potatoes.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Oof. In a casserole dish. Glass, preferably.
Yes.
Okay, a layer of mashed potatoes. Then a bunch of hot dogs cut in half long ways.
Yes.
So they're thinner.
Para hacer la bandera de Estados Unidos.
Come on, can I finish? Pinche mamada. So then you put a whole layer of hot dogs. Like you just line the whole pan. So mashed potatoes, hot dogs. Then you slather a layer of ketchup on top of
what?
That. Yep. Then you put you put mashed potatoes on top of that. And then you put cheese.
Uh-huh.
And then you put ketchup and mustard on top, like in a design.
I can't.
And then you get potato chips and you crumple them up and you sprinkle them on top of the casserole. And then you put it in the oven at 350 degrees for until it's golden brown. No, not 10 minutes, Gwei. You gotta make sure it's nice and brown. Okay, well, have you ever used an oven before? It takes more than 10 minutes,
well,
girl.
Well, did you hear me in the recording? We don't know how to use an oven in my family, so.
That's true.
Did you try it?
What?
That whole casserole?
Of course. I'm telling you, this is my old roommate.
How was it?
It's amazing. It's incredible. What are you talking about?
Oh, my God.
Think about it.
That sounds incredible.
Yeah, and that's always been my guilty pleasure, too, is like eating mashed potatoes with ketchup. I love that shit.
Yeah.
And it's just because it's like my mom used to make meatloaf when I was a kid. So it's like meatloaf, mashed potatoes, and ketchup.
How do your mom make the meatloaf?
With meat and a pan, and then she puts it in the oven.
Pero no le pone, like, let's put a lot of vegetables or...
She's like cut up carrots, celery, and onion, and it's like in there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then you baste it with ketchup.
Yeah.
So that it has like a nice, sweet exterior.
That's one of my favorite dishes.
Yeah?
Pero like my mom never made it. It's not a Mexican thing.
No, it's not.
No, like my mom will make tortitas de carne, which are basically hamburgers. That would be the closest to that.
So anyway, back to the original topic. White people, y'all really show out on Thanksgiving. You show us that all of these boxed products, all of these canned things without expiration dates can actually turn into a meal. And it's very surprising, but also the ninjanuity is very impressive.
What is your favorite Thanksgiving dish? Like, what is the thing that you're looking forward the most today?
My favorite Thanksgiving dish is leftovers. So like making sandwiches with like the leftover shit.
Yes.
That is my favorite. There's a local sandwich shop here that has vegetarian turkey.
Yes.
And they have a sandwich called the Bobby.
The Bobby con cranberry and shit.
Yeah, so it's cranberry, it's stuffing, it's turkey, mayonnaise, and on a roll. And pretty much, I love mayonnaise. I don't understand people that don't like mayonnaise.
I don't either.
I love it. It's so good.
You can put it on anything.
Any meat? Man, see, now I miss eating meat. Any meat, just white bread, mayonnaise, and any meat. Bomb.
Mexican rice con mayonnaise. It's my thing. Or ketchup, but with mayonnaise.
See, normally I would be disgusted by that. But I'm not going to lie. I have had that before. Not with ketchup. That's wild. But I remember, girl, I also grew up really poor. So I remember making tacos out of corn tortillas, rice.
Y mayonesa.
And ranch dressing, bitch. I took it there.
Oh, yes. That's brilliant.
Yeah. So I think that combination. I love that combination of like stuffing, like mashed potatoes and cranberry, because it's like sweet. And then it's like the mashed potatoes is like the body. And then like the salty from the stuffing, like mix that is like the perfect bite.
That's my shit. Stuffing.
That's your favorite?
That's my favorite. Okay. Because talk about it. It's like, I don't know. Mexicans don't do good stuffing. I don't know. Sometimes they put it in the turkey. Y se seca todo. So you have to do it separately. But like, I've tried it all. I 1 year I made this like bougie ass stuffing with, I think it had, ¿cómo se llaman las que parecen almendras pero son así curved and they're long?
Cashews?
Yes. It had cashews.
Okay.
It had apples, celery, and Gouda cheese.
Gouda.
It was fucking bomb. It was so bougie, but it was so bomb. Bitch. And there's so many different versions of stuffing. I could have a whole meal just of different stuffings. So that's the thing I'm looking forward to. But in order to get the good old stuffing, you gotta go with those white people that know how to make it, man. Like, it's
okay, but how do you make stuffing? Do you make it separate or do you make it with the turkey?
I used to put it in the turkey, pero siempre se seca. So really? Now I stuffed it. So last year I did it. This year I'm not going to do it because it's too much.
Yeah.
But last year we stuffed it. I stuffed it with oranges, with lemons, with cebolla, with ajo, un chingo de sal y pimienta, like a bunch of herbs. And that keeps it moist, like las naranjas. But I also like brine it for like a whole entire day. Para que sepa bien bueno.
The turkey. So you make the turkey and the stuffing for your family?
Yes, I used to. I mean, the thing is that el cumpleaños de mi mamá, shout out to my mom, it's her birthday tomorrow.
Oh.
So el cumpleaños de mi mamá falls on Thanksgiving once in a while. So that happens, yo tomo las riendas, and I'm the one who makes the food.
Wow.
But this year it doesn't fall on Thanksgiving, thank God. So now it's my booze mom and my mom, they're making the Thanksgiving.
Together. And they don't know each other.
They're going to meet each other tomorrow.
Wow.
Caca!
That's a lot.
It's going to be intense, but I'm very excited. So, and I know that mi suegra makes this special turkey. She takes all the bones and then she stuffs it with other meats. I'll report to
you. Where does she take the bones?
No sé dónde los pone.
She takes them out of the turkey?
She takes them out of the turkey, yeah. And then lo abre and then she stuffs it with other meats and then closes it again.
Damn.
That's going to be something.
That's nuts. Okay, so you have the turkey. I want to get into your Thanksgiving because you got the turkey, you have the stuffing, and then what are the sides you guys usually have?
Mexican rice.
Okay. Explain Mexican rice. Also, can I just get something off my chest right now?
It's not Spanish.
It's not fucking Spanish rice, okay? Mexican food is not Spanish food. Stop saying that Mexican food, Puerto Rican food, Cuban food, Guatemalan food, Salvadoran food is Spanish food. It's not Spanish. It's not from Spain. Okay, thank you. I'm done.
Estúpidas el pelo.
Okay.
De Fabi. So sides, we gotta have rice.
Okay, Mexican rice. What's Mexican rice?
Okay, so this is how I prepare my Mexican rice.
Yes.
So you, con un poquito de aceite, you tuestas el arroz. Still is like golden brown. And then you add your chicken broth. And then you add Nor Suiza, sabor tomate.
Okay,
and then
you put MSG. Good.
And then you put a little bit of tomato puree.
Ooh,
and
yes.
Then ajo y cebolla, pero because we're spoiled as kids, we never cut it. So my mom la ponía entera, so we can take it off so we eat it. And then that's it. So the color comes from the bouillon and
the tomato paste,
yes.
Okay, so you got rice. What else?
Arroz, puré de papa sometimes. My family loves cheese.
So you make cheesy
mashed potatoes.
So my
sister always makes this like, como botana.
Yeah.
And she just basically has... My sister's cooking, bitch, is the funniest. So she just takes a block of cream cheese y le pone apricot jam on top of it. Y así lo sirve. So you get the Ritz crackers y te lo comes. Bitch, that's the most wonderful thing.
That sounds lovely.
And then wait. My mouth is watering.
I know.
Okay. So we have that. We have arroz. We have mashed potatoes. But because my family loves cheese, except for Bianca, my little sister, we just layer like sliced potatoes with cheese and, you know, things like that to make like a casserole of potatoes. And we have brisket. I know that's not a side, but like we always have to have brisket. Brisket is like a big celebration thing in El Norte. Like, no matter what we do, we have to have brisket.
Yeah.
So that's mainly what we do. When it comes to bread, we don't fuck with that. So we just buy those Hawaiian rolls.
Damn.
Those are the good. Yeah.
Yes.
What about you? Because depending on your family, like, the sides completely change.
The Mexican side of my family always tries to make a traditional Thanksgiving meal.
We all do, bitch.
And it never works.
Nunca nos sale.
And every Thanksgiving, I try to have a serious moment. I get my glass and I'm like, okay. I'm like, can we have a family meeting right now? I was like, Tío, muchísimas gracias por you know, por el
pan
pavo.
De cada día.
El pan de cada día, aleluya, amen. I was like, but you see this turkey, like, you see how this turkey is really hard to eat right now? And you see how this ham that you bought from the store, just ready to put in the oven, turned out great? Oh. I'm like, maybe we should try to go that route next year, where we just buy, like, a lot of easy things to make.
Yes.
Or... better yet, let's just make whatever we want.
Like tamales.
Like, it doesn't have to be Thanksgiving food.
Right.
And I try every time. God bless. Thanksgiving on my dad's side of the family is mostly family time. And the food is just there. unfortunately.
Como background para...
I will give my grandma actually listens to me, because me and my grandma always come correct. And she she always makes her gelatinas.
Yeah.
So, and those are always amazing.
What is it with Latinos and gelatinas, man?
My grandmother makes two of the best gelatinas I've ever had in my entire life. The first one is Jell-O, strawberry Jell-O.
Yes.
With evaporated milk.
Yes!
And condensed milk.
Oh my God.
And she has the ratios to done perfectly, where it's not like, you know, like when you go to restaurants and you get gelatina like for fun, for dessert.
No.
It's always like so sweet, or it's too rubbery. This is the perfect consistency. It's almost like a flan because of all the milk in it.
Yeah.
And it's not too sweet. It's incredible. Then my grandma my grandmother also makes her famous creamy 7-Up Jell-O.
Caca!
Yes. So, I love how you're trying to make caca actually happen. That's not going
to
happen.
I just say it. I don't have to. All my sobrinos.
You're the...
I'm just trying to make
The mean girls.
I'm just trying to make it happen with my sobrinitos. That's my goal for this week.
Oh, it's going to catch on so quick.
That's from Rosa Mama. That's where I got it from.
Oh my God. How funny. Okay. So... 7-Up Jell-O. So this is my I'm not going to give you the full recipe because my grandma would not like that.
Well,
but
of course.
Instead of using water for the Jell-O,
she uses 7-Up.
Yes, but you don't just use it right out of the can. That's an amateur mistake. Porque el gas. Tiene que sacarle el gas.
That makes sense.
So,
it's just syrup.
So she opens the cans of 7-Up like the night before and lets all the gas out, and then just uses flat soda.
That's
so it's
fucking
like
brilliant.
Flat soda with lime Jell-O, lemon lime Jell-O, and then the sweetened condensed milk.
No, también le pone leche.
And la leche evaporada, the evaporated milk. And you mix it together, and it's the bomb.com. So she always makes it for anything. Thanksgiving, birthdays, Christmas. That's her contribution.
Does somebody have the recipe in the family?
Yeah, she has it. I'm making her a cookbook, like with all her recipes.
That sounds awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, but it's just for us. I can't. My grandma will never
let
anybody
just,
see it.
Yeah.
But so that is always a staple for my grandma, and then she always makes. See, this is a KISS. Keep it simple, stupid. Right? Always keep it simple. A lot of people try to get extra during the holidays,
and it always fails.
Well, you know what I used to do? I used to fall into this. I would make a cranberry salsa thinking like it's cute, like look, my culture, like jalapenos and cranberries.
Right.
And then I'm like,
that's gross.
No, it was delicious. But I'm like, I'm trying too hard. Like, let's just have cranberry sauce. It's fine. I don't have to spice it up, you know? Anyway, she makes this, you know how grandmas love to make sopas like with
with just like noodles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like macaroni noodles or the caracol or shell noodles, you know? So she makes macaroni noodles, okay?
Oh my God, uh-huh.
She just al dente, perfect, okay? She knows. She's a regular Giada De La
Renta. She's no savage.
Al dente, okay? Okay, she puts those in the fridge. She cools them down. Then she gets mayonnaise, even amounts of mayonnaise to sour cream ratio. Because again, you want the subtle flavor. And then canned tuna, drained. She mixes the tuna, toda deshebrada, into it. And then a light sprinkling of salt and pepper.
And that's it.
Boy, when I tell you, it's...
So does she bake it?
No, it's cold. It's like a cold macaroni tuna salad.
This sounds like all 1950s recipes.
Made to perfection. If one time she made the mistake I did with the cranberry salsa, she tried to get fancy and she cut up some chile poblano.
Y valió mal.
Like she roasted the chile poblano and put it in there. And everybody was like, it's good. It's just, you know,
your recipe.
It's not the same.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So wait, that's your Mexican side of the family.
Oh, girl, let's get it. My
bitch, your Guatemalan side of the family is like a whole nother story.
You know, like Oprah said about Jesus Christ, okay, at her Legends Ball in 2005. My family shows up and they show out. Yes. This is the family that took my advice. They've always done it. I'm saying it. I'm just joking. But they cook whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah.
And they've given up on trying to make like traditional Thanksgiving food.
Yeah.
But what's cool about it is that they do things that maybe aesthetically look like the food.
Right.
But are not actually the food.
Ah, that's brilliant.
So like, what do we know how to cook? We know how to cook chicken, right? We know how to cook pork.
Right.
So they make a nice, like, big roasted chicken. Easy, simple. You know what I mean? A little salt, a little pepper, a little Lowry seasoning, a little garlic salt. That's all you need, okay? Instead of stuffing, Guatemalans make this thing called picadillo, which is, like, really fine, like, chopped vegetables. And then...
Como sofrito, or...
Kind of. And then with, like, ground beef in it and just different things. No bread. That's just, like, the stuffing. And you can make... my favorite. They're called... My family calls them gringas. So they're tostadas with mayonnaise. So you put a layer of mayonnaise... then you put the picadillo on top, which is like ground beef.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you put two slices of tomato on top of it.
What?
So it's almost like a cheeseburger tostada.
Oh my God.
And they call them gringas.
What the fuck?
So
Wait, is that a Guatemalan thing? Or it's like in your family?
It's a Guatemalan thing. Because Guatemalans, this is also, my mom is the queen of enchiladas. And Guatemalan enchiladas, when I tell you, I got to make these for you one day because you'll never, once you have a Guatemalan enchilada, you'll never go back to Mexican enchiladas.
Right.
They're a completely different thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So you start with a basic tostada, right? And by basic, I mean...
tostada?
Listen to me. I don't understand why you're interrupting me. So... And when I mean basic, I don't mean store-bought tostada. That's for lazy people who don't care about themselves and don't care about anybody else, okay? You buy the corn tortillas, okay?
And you deep fry it.
And you fry them yourself to a golden perfection.
Yes.
Okay, once you fry about 30 of them up in your house.
3 horas después.
And your house smells like a fucking... KFC. Then... What you do, you cool them down, you got to make sure they're nice and cool.
So thorough.
I'm giving the people what they want, okay? And then you put a lot of paper towels so the oil is drained and it's like crispy, okay? Because you don't want the oil to water it down. Okay, so you get your tortilla, okay? You have your tostada. You get your refried beans. And they are refried. When I mean refried, I mean these have been refried over and over again.
With lard.
No, girl. Guatemalans don't fuck with that. Are you kidding me?
Oof, okay.
Okay.
So it's just with oil, okay? So
with EVOO.
Okay. And so no girl, coma sola.
No está sola.
So then you put a thin layer of refried, almost like they're almost watery. The black beans. Okay, refried black beans. And then you put a thin layer of a simple tomato sauce. It's just like tomato, onion, cilantro.
What?
No spice to it, okay? And then so it's a nice savory tomato sauce right on top of that. Okay. And then you can make it vegetarian and go on, or you can add meat to it. So that's where you put the picadillo, like the ground beef with the sofrito in it. Then on top of that, you put a cabbage slaw. So usually my mom makes a slaw with, ¿cómo se dice beets en español?
Berenjenas.
I don't think so. So you use... So you use beets. It's like beets, onions, and cabbage.
Red chicken,
cilantro, and lime juice, and you like put that all together with salt, and it just like makes this perfect. It's almost like a different version of curtido that Salvadorans
use. That's what I was thinking, yeah.
For pupusas. Okay. Then on top, okay, so you put a mound of that on top.
It
ain't over yet, baby. Okay, so then after that, on top of that, you get hard boiled eggs and you slice them up really thin. You put about two or three thin slices of hard boiled egg on top of that. Then that same sauce that you put on the bottom, marry it, okay?
La de tomate.
Yep, so you put a little doot on top, okay? So that it's like perfectly over the eggs and the slaw. And then you sprinkle it with that hard, like Guatemalan cheese that's like almost like, you know how like Parmesan, like pizza shop Parmesan, but it's like better because it's stinkier in Guatemalan.
Yeah. So, and Guatemalan.
And you put that on top, girl.
What?
And then that's it. It's layer upon layer of goodness.
Of goodness.
It's so bomb. If you want to get fancy, you can put pickled jalapenos on top of it.
On the side.
Yeah. And so that is present sometimes.
At Thanksgiving.
My mom also makes lengua. So tacos de lengua are present.
As, ¿cómo se dice? Botana.
That is the appetizer.
That's so crazy.
Let's see, what else do people make? And it just depends. It depends. My mom sometimes will show out and makes chomin. Mm-hmm. So sometimes there's chamein or chomin, as my family says, which is Guatemalan version of chamein. Yeah. And then usually present is a pozole, a pork or a beef pozole.
That's so crazy.
So we grub, dude, and lots of snacks, lots of different kinds. My family's a chip family. That's it. My tia Carla. Oh, shout out to my, you know what, I'm leaving right now. Fuck you, I gotta go. Oh my god, my tia Carla always makes her famous bean dip, which is she married a Mexican, so like she learned how to cook Mexican food really well. So she makes this pinto bean dip that's like almost like bean dip with pico de gallo and cheese already in it.
Yeah.
So then you just put it in a crock pot
and then
you just like dip your chips in it and they're just like, okay. Ugh. So that is always present. Shout out to you, tia. And...
But see, you have a lot of families coming together. Like it's not just like one, like, because when we get together for Thanksgiving, it's just like the five of us, maybe another guest or something. But you guys just like primos y tios.
This is what always confuses me, because when I say my family, I mean like all 50 of us together.
Oh no, when I say my family, I mean like,
oh no, like
los
my
cinco y
oh no,
los
oh like the family from your house.
Yes, yes.
Oh, see, my family doesn't like each other, just like my mom and my brothers. So we don't. So actually, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't spill all my mom's shit, but she called me 2 days ago and she's like, I'm going to make Thanksgiving dinner at my house this year. Y tu tía va a ser... We always have it at the same tía's house. Y tu tía también va a ser un Thanksgiving. And I was like, okay.
Oh, wow.
So you're telling me that I have to choose either to go to your house with just me and you, because I know my brothers aren't going to show up because they're scumbags. Just kidding. I love you guys. Or to go with my tía and see my grandma, my grandpa... Fulana
y Sutana
y Mengana, exactly. I'm going to go where the Guadis are. I'm going to go there, right? So she's making us choose, which is interesting. So
you got to go to both at least.
Yeah, I guess I shouldn't be teaching my mom lessons, I guess. But I love her tongue tacos.
Damn.
So I'm like, Mom, why don't you make that for lunch? And then my brothers can go and have Thanksgiving lunch.
Con
and
todos
then,
los primos.
Yeah, yeah, and then we can pop by and say hi to all the other Guadis. But I get it. You know, like, I've been traveling a lot. My brothers are always working. She hasn't seen us in a long time. Mm-hmm. She just wants to spend time with us.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like, you know, there's a lot of Mexican families that really don't know how to, like, convivir. Uh-huh. I mean, just general families in general. Yeah. So, like, all we do at my mom's house is, like, watch TV.
No.
And just, like, sit there. Like, we don't really talk to each other.
This year, I think we're going to have a rule where, like, we're going to put ¿cómo se llama? Los cell phones in a basket. Because we're, like...
That's smart.
Yeah, because, like, we don't get to... And, like, this is the first time that, like, families are coming together. So, like, we need to talk to each other. We got to meet each other. So, we're going to try to do that.
And it's so crazy, like, kids now, like... Most families have just like a tablet for their toddler and they're just on their tablet the whole night.
Chica tu madre, ahí te va.
Yeah, it's so crazy. I decided that I was going to buy my goddaughter only like books.
Right.
From every year for her birthday so that she like knows what a book is.
And you know? I don't remember the name of the company, but remember when we went to Atlanta, there was a guy and I was going through all the kids' books. Like there's so many amazing stuff out there for Latinx kids. For black kids, and you can find some really cool stuff. But I was gonna say, so my family didn't celebrate Thanksgiving when we live in Juarez. Like that was a gringo thing. So my mom will make a dinner or something. Or like it will be Thanksgiving, and we didn't do anything. My dad would just get off of work because he worked on El Paso, so he used to cross the border every day. But we never did it. Pero después mi tía se cansó con su señor. And he happened to work at a fucking Golden Corral. So he knew.
Oh, bitch.
So the first time he made Thanksgiving for us, that's when I knew the real meaning of the holiday.
Wow.
Yes. Like, all that gross shit that they... If anybody doesn't know, like, Golden Corral is like a chain of... buffets, like it's just, and it's gross.
It's truly the meaning of Thanksgiving, genocide and white supremacy.
Exactly.
Extermination day.
Exactly.
Damn, bitch, you had a proper Thanksgiving. Wow.
So after that, I try to replicate it, but you're right. Like, why am I fucking around with this fucking food that it's not mine? So when I host Thanksgiving, I mean, el pavo lo tengo que hacer, pero siempre me sale seco. Like, there's always something wrong. And the same thing with my side of my family. So we just, you're right. That's what I'm telling my family. I'm just like, let's make some fucking, I mean, the brisket that my mom makes is so good. So my mom is like, ay, cuánta carne. I'm like, pero eso es lo que le sale rico. So like, make fucking brisket. So that's, and Brussels sprouts. I love Brussels sprouts.
You always make them, huh?
I love Brussels sprouts.
Tell me about that, because Brussels sprouts, we only have a few minutes, so don't, you know, don't pull a me and talk forever about yourself. So, tell me, because there's a balance, because you really have to work with acid when you're working with Brussels sprouts, because you have to, it's such a tough vegetable, you have to break it down first.
Yes. So,
break it down for us, Pablito.
So, an easy way to do it is to, like... los tuestas poquito, like you cut them in half, los tuestas poquito con mantequilla, and then you add a little bit of a liquid. It can be from wine to chicken broth, vegetable broth, y luego los cubres. But if you want to be extra, you cut them in pieces y les quitas las hojas, like you de-leave them, I don't know. And then you put it all together in the oven, and all the leaves are going to become crispy. And then you just tap it up with lime juice on top. And guess what?
Guess what, Mimi?
Balsamic
vinaigrette reduction.
Yes, bitch!
Okay.
And that shit is the bomb. Damn. But I think that's the secret. If you just take the time y les quita las hojitas, so todas las hojitas van a ser como chicharroncitos. Dude, that shit is so good. And it wasn't until I ate at a restaurant, a Japanese restaurant here, where I was like, what is this? It was Brussels sprouts. So I've been trying to replicate that recipe. So yeah, I make it all kinds of different ways. And this is the period where you can find them in the actual stock. And those are good. Damn. Yeah. So I always make Brussels sprouts.
You know, one time I had them raw, like just cut. They got the Brussels sprouts and cut them. Yes.
Así como rayados.
Yeah, super thin.
Like in a salad.
And all they did was also cut a bunch of almonds super thin.
Yes.
And then put citrus, like lemon, and just probably put it in the fridge overnight so that it broke everything down with a little salt and pepper, girl. Oof. Little sesame seed oil. Oh, man. Happy Thanksgiving, y'all.
Yajonjoli.
Oh, cálmate, güey. All right. Let's take a little break, and then we'll be back with some recommendations. Oh, my gosh. I'm so happy to be back home in Las Vegas. And you know what? To be honest, it's time for me to find a therapist here. You know, I've been doing online therapy, you know, through text messaging, through phone calls.
Right.
And I think now it's time for me to upgrade to seeing somebody face to face.
Well, I have a great website for you.
What? Tell me.
Kaka. Therapyforlatinx.com.
Kill you. Huh?
Therapyforlatinx.com helps you find the therapist of your people within your community. All you have to do is go to the website, type your zip code, and you can find it. But it's also a great website for therapists to announce themselves.
Oh, that's awesome. So they can get on a listing there.
Right.
And then you'll be searchable on the web.
And once you find the therapy you're looking for, it's excellent because you can find therapists that are actually attuned to your culture. I mean, if you're lucky, you can do Spanglish therapy. That will make a difference in the world.
Truly, because that's how we talk, girl.
Right, así es.
Better like for real. So therapyforlatinx.com. That's therapyforlatinx.com. And we're back.
Get home.
Hey. Let's get right into recommendations, girl. What do you recommend?
So I was just thinking, and I was, because 2016 seemed like it was our year for music, but I was just in my trip over here, I was going through my Spotify and some of the Latinx music that we've been listening to. There's been some amazing, amazing stuff coming out this year. And we're topping this year with a Spanish musician. I know it's not the typical Latinx sounds, and this is actually
I know who you're gonna say.
Yes, it's a singer that it's backed by a big company. But let me tell you, this album is pure fire. This is El Mal Querer by Rosalía. I don't engage with a lot of flamenco music. I just don't have the background, and I don't have a lot of knowledge. I know a little bit from popular media, but there's something in the heart of Gitano music, and she is taking that, she's twisting it, adding some beautiful electronic arrangements, and I fucks with it till the end. Again, the singer is Rosalía. I don't even know much about her. I know she's been around, but this is a breakthrough album. I think she even won some Grammys and stuff. Yeah. I don't know. I don't care. All I know is this album is probably one of the best albums of the year. Again, this is Rosalía. The album is Mal Querer. If you haven't listened to it, put your shit together and download it right now.
Thank you. I am going to recommend an interview I just saw, and I want to give a shout out to Lance Smith, who has been on the show a couple times before. He sent it to me in a text message. Mm-hmm. And, you know, genius.com, they break down lyrics, and sometimes the artists even partner up.
Yes,
it's really cool to go through the songs and see what, especially when it comes to like hip hop or songs where, you know, it's almost like a story when you're reading the lyrics.
I think they are on Spotify sometimes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like part of Spotify also. Yeah. They just did an interview with Mariah Carey. Mm-hmm. And it was incredible.
No.
It was so good. It made me fall in love with Mariah Carey all over again. And it was so real. Just listening to her talk.
Yeah.
And her reaction to the questions. So the reason why I love this interview so much is because the interviewer is focusing on her songwriting skills the whole time.
Nice.
And Mariah Carey even says in the interview, like, nobody's ever asked me that question.
That's so crazy.
Nobody ever thinks of me as a songwriter. Y'all, Mariah Carey has written all of her songs. Pretty much. I mean, she has co-writers, of course, people helping her produce the work, of course. But she is genius. She is a songwriter.
She's a musician.
And nobody, I mean, they never say this, but it's like people, when I see Mariah Carey and interviews with Mariah Carey, you know, it's always about her lifestyle, about like her being
diva status.
Her diva status, her being biracial, her, you know.
Se pelea con las otras.
Yeah, they like focus on that or like, oh, remember when she like, when after she left Tommy Mottola and was like able to live outside, not caged up in a mansion, like she got all
sexy. Shout out to Talia.
Yeah. Shout out to you, girl. She got all sexy and everybody was criticizing her, calling her like a hoe and a hoochie and all this shit.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, yeah, who cares? She can, that's her way of expressing herself. She's free. Right. She's going to wear whatever the fuck she wants.
Right.
So anyway, It was a really cool interview just to hear her break down the lyrics and talk about the people that she's worked with and just to see her just be a boss ass bitch like she is.
That's awesome.
Mariah Carey, te queremos.
Te queremos, Venezolana. Te queremos.
Yes,
and the last song was produced by Dev Hynes from Blood Orange.
Ahí está.
It's beautiful.
Sas.
Se acabó.
Okay, I think this is the end of the episode.
I need to start cooking right now.
I have to pee. Okay. And as always, you can find us at latinoswholunch.com. You can send us an email, asklwlpod@gmail.com. And you can ask us a question. I appreciate everybody sending us love letters. That's so nice. It makes me feel really good. But try to throw a question in there once in a while because we would love to read your questions on the air.
Yes.
And we've actually have a lot of emails saved up from from this past summer to now.
Yeah.
And so you're going to hear a couple listener letters coming up. So if you send us a letter that actually has a question in it, you're going to probably hear it soon. Okay. So again, visit us, latinoswholunch.com. And send us an email at asklwlpod@gmail.com. As always, if you have time, please leave us a review, 5 stars.
5 stars only.
Because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are. And
visibility leads to representation, and representation matters, people.
Yeah. I'm Fabi Fab.
And I'm Babelito.
Bye.
Ciao.